The anniversary to Whitey and Dottie Noggle. The flowers up here are in honor of their anniversary. Busy week coming up in the life of a church. Guess what starts tomorrow? Pumpkin rolls. So if you're helping out with pumpkin rolls, that starts tomorrow. Praise team and Bible study tomorrow as well. Tuesday's commissions and board meeting. Wednesday, bell choir and choir. Also, in your bulletin, there is an announcement. Mary Gate of Heaven Church invited those in the community who would like to go to the Pennsylvania March for Life. They are sponsoring. There's a bus being sponsored and it would be a meeting at Mary Gate of Heaven. There's an information sheet and a sign-up sheet in the gathering place if you're interested in participating in that. And you need to sign up today because that's we just got that this week, but that's we need to get that back to them. So today should be the day that you sign up if you're interested in participating. Today is an exciting day in the life of the church. We come together to worship. We come together to celebrate a baptism. Let's come together as Barb leads us into this time of worship.
Thank you. Good morning. If we could all rise for the call to worship. Come, let us enter this time of worship with great joy. Let all shout and praise God's name. He has made. Should I keep going? Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice.
Let us shout with joy.
Let us open our hearts to God.
O God, accept our praise and turn our hearts toward you.
Amen. And for the page 79, Lord, with devotion we pray.
Thank you.
may be seated. I'll be reading this morning from Psalms 105, verses 1 to 4, and Psalm 106, verses 1 to 3. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. In Psalm 106, praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Thank you, Earl, and also the choir for the beautiful music this morning. I said earlier as we came walking in, when was the last time the choir sang? And it was March of last year, so it feels great to have you sitting in that loft singing again. And if we could bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you have brought each of us safely here today. We gladly surrender our lives to you in worship and in praise. As we gather, may we remember those who are not with us today. For those who are sick, we ask for your healing. And for those away from us, we ask for your blessings to be with them. We invite your beautiful Holy Spirit to move freely among us. We pray for the leaders of our nation and for all the world leaders and the many important and critical situations they face. We ask that you give them wisdom to do your will. We ask for your blessings for Brooklyn First Church, that they may hear your word and understand. We ask for a special blessing today for Cameron as he accepts you as Lord and Savior. We ask for guidance and direction for us as a church. We ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. And if we could rise for our next hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." may be seated, and the children may go to children's worship and be excused. And for this morning's scripture from Exodus 32, verses 1 to 14, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he has threatened." And now this morning's message.
Wait. Wait. It's one of those four-letter words that, well, most of us don't like to hear. I mean, honestly, is there anyone here that enjoys sitting in a doctor's or dentist's office's waiting room? Or how about getting stuck in traffic? Traveling from our house to downtown Palmyra, Kathy and I have to cross the Norfolk Southern Rail crossing on North Ford Street in Palmyra. Frequently, we have to stop and wait for trains, very long trains. Last week, I was stopped waiting for a train traveling west to pass. And just as the end of that westbound train came into view, I heard the whistle of another train traveling east. And I had to wait for two trains. I confess there have been times where I've turned around and gone across to the Grant Street Bridge over the railroad tracks and back to Forge Road. But usually by the time I do that, the trains have passed and I should have just waited there anyhow. But I don't know about you, but patiently waiting is not something I always do very well. And I don't think I'm alone in that regard. Patiently waiting just doesn't seem to be in our DNA. I mean, after all, we eat fast food. We use the self-checkout lines in the grocery stores. We try to lose those 10 pounds in 1 week kinds of diets. We pay extra for overnight shipping. Honk at the car in front of us when they don't move the moment the light turns green. We cut corners, take shortcuts. We text or tweet in 140 characters or less, fume when our internet connection runs a little slow. We want quick and instant solutions to complex problems. We're overworked, busy, impatient people, and waiting just doesn't seem to fit into our lives. Over the last three Sundays, we've been looking at the biblical story of the Israelites' journey in the wilderness after God had called Moses to lead them out of Egypt. And in the scriptures read the last two Sundays, we found the Israelites camped at the foot of Mount Sinai. And you might recall that God instructed Moses to place a boundary around the base of the mountain beyond which the people were not allowed to pass. Only Moses was allowed to go up the mountain and into the presence of God. Last Sunday, we read about another boundary God set for the Israelites, some words, the Ten Commandments. I said that these commandments, instead of being restrictive, are in fact freeing. And I also reminded us that Jesus said the commandments of God can be summarized in just a few words: love God and love your neighbor. Well, in Exodus 32, we find the Israelites walking past some of those boundaries that God had set for them. They broke at least two of the commandments God had given them. You shall not have any gods before me, and you shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Moses had been up on that mountain a little too long in the eyes of the Israelites, and they decided to take things into their own hands. And knowing what was going on at the base of the mountain, God sent Moses back down to deal with the situation. Things were kind of falling apart rather quickly, and God threatened to destroy the Israelites and start all over again with Moses. Now, it might seem that idolatry was the problem here, but I think the root problem here was something much, much deeper. At the root of their disobedience were two issues that we still deal with today in our walk with God: impatience and forgetfulness. From the moment the Israelites left Egypt, they headed to the Red Sea, their impatience started to show itself in panic and in fear. So first faced with the sea, they thought that was the end. Pharaoh's army was going to slaughter them all. But God had other plans, and they walked through the sea. Then they thought they were going to starve. All they could think about was all that food they had back in Egypt, pots filled with meat and all the bread that they wanted. And now this Moses brought them to a barren wilderness to starve them all to death. But God had other plans, and God provided food, meat in the evening and bread, that manna from heaven, in the morning. Then they got thirsty. They couldn't find any water, so they complained to Moses and demanded that he give them water to drink. And once more, God provided water from a rock, no less. Moses was taking too long up on that mountain talking to God. For all they knew, he'd been bitten by a snake and was lying dead up there somewhere. They said, "We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here out of the land of Egypt." So they demanded that Moses' brother Aaron make some gods who can lead them, since it didn't seem like Moses or their true God were going to do anything about their situation. So Aaron gathered their gold earrings and molded them into an idol in the form of a golden calf. I mean, you really got to love it. This fellow Moses. Good old, what's his name? Remember him? The guy that spoke with God and sent those plagues on Egypt, split the sea, and satisfied our thirst with water from a rock? I mean, it's only been, what, maybe a few days, a week, maybe a month. Not too long since that fellow, Moses, went up the mountain to talk to God. And the people were getting impatient. Now, I can understand that to a point. I can't imagine that there was a whole lot to do out there in the wilderness. After all, God was providing for their physical needs, food and water. And maybe there were some children and animals to take care of and some bread to bake. No TV or internet or ESPN or Netflix. Nothing to do. So maybe they got a little bored sitting around waiting for this fellow Moses to come back down the mountain. They needed a little excitement. So, hey, Aaron, how about making us some gods? They had no patience. They expected everything to happen quickly, immediately. Does that sound familiar? Which takes us to the second root issue, forgetfulness. Who was it that brought them out of the land of Egypt? Moses or God? They didn't seem to know. Who parted the Red Sea and destroyed Pharaoh's army? Who provided the food and the water? Moses wasn't a magician. It was all God's doing, God acting through his servant, Moses. They had forgotten about that day when Moses came down the mountain and gave them these words from God. Remember these? You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you'll obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on the earth. For all the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. They forgot what God said, and they also forgot their response to God's words when they said, "We will do everything the Lord has commanded." The people's collective memory was getting a little foggy. The people's attention span was a little short. They got bored. Their impatience and their forgetfulness caused them to violate that boundary that God had set for them. How quickly, God said, they have turned away from the way I commanded them to live. And God threatened to destroy the Israelites. But this fellow Moses intervened on behalf of the people. And ironically, Moses saved the day for the people by jogging the divine memory, which was rather bold of him, wouldn't you say? These are your people, he reminded God, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt. Moses reminded God of the covenant he had made with Abraham to make a great nation with countless descendants. He reminded God about the mighty acts he had done on behalf of the people he had called his own special treasure. And besides, Moses argued, what would the Egyptians say about you if you killed the Israelites out here in the wilderness? Turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you threatened against your people. And God relented. God was persuaded. And the Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. What does that say about God, that a mere human could persuade God, the creator of all that is, to change his mind? I think it says a lot. Even though God was angry and disappointed with the people, God's loving nature prevailed in the end. This boundless God could not and would not go back on his word and the covenant he had made with his people. Throughout the story of the Israelites, they are regularly challenged to remember. O Israel, remember and do not forget, becomes a refrain heard over and over again. And yet in their story, we see them repeatedly forgetting and then remembering again for a time and then forgetting all over again. And it just repeats itself. At Sinai, God invited the Israelites to be his own special people among all the people of the earth with one stipulation, that they would obey God's laws and keep his covenant. At best, they were inconsistent in doing so, but God never gave up on them. And these cycles of impatience and rebellion brought on by their forgetfulness, these sins brought on by their impatience that threatened to bring God's judgment on them, these were still an issue at the time of Jesus. And finally, God sent his very own son to live with these people, to demonstrate and show them the love God has for them, and to hold up some bread and some wine and say once more and for all time, remember. Impatience and forgetfulness, they can be our spiritual undoing as well. In a culture of instant gratification, waiting patiently is not something we do well. Not just waiting in a doctor's waiting room or waiting in traffic, but even waiting for God. We want instant answers to our prayers. We wonder why God allows things like hurricanes and earthquakes. We ask, why doesn't God do something about all this human suffering now, today? We pray for Jesus to come quickly so all of this ends and we can get on with God's promised future. Well, thankfully, God doesn't move at the same speed that we would like him to. Thankfully, God has significantly more patience than we do. This is what God told Moses about himself. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. As impatient and forgetful as we are the beneficiaries of God's faithfulness and unfailing love. God looks beyond our sin and failures and forgives. There's a great spiritual benefit in learning to wait patiently for God to work in his time and in his way. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. And the psalmist writes, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. You see, patiently waiting on the Lord forces us to put our needs and our problems and our efforts aside so that we can see God working in our lives and in the world as God sees fit to work. It is through waiting that we have time to remember. It's when our minds are cleared of all our business that, in the quietness of waiting, we can recall what God has done and is doing for us and through us. You have to love the irony of it all, that God's response to the impatient children of Israel was to make them wait another 40 years to get to where they were going. 40 years to travel a few hundred miles. God gave them lots of time for remembering. And this boundless God invites us to slow down, to take time to listen, to really open our eyes to what God has done and is doing in our lives and in the world, and remember God's goodness and love for us. How often do you just wait? Just take some quiet time to remember what God has done and is doing in your life. Many of us are so busy, we get to the end of the day, crash into bed for a few hours, and then repeat the cycle all over again the next day. At night, in bed. Maybe that's not such a bad place to try to take some time to remember. After all, the psalmist says, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. About 40 years ago, preacher and author Frederick Buechner published a collection of sermons and essays that he titled A Room Called Remember. And in the first entry in that collection, Buechner recounts a dream he once had of staying in a wonderful hotel room somewhere, a room in which he felt completely comfortable, at ease, and at peace. But then in the dream, he left that hotel for some more travels, and returning later only to be put into a different room that was dark and cramped. So he went to the front desk to see if he could get that previous room where he felt so comfortable. He was told by the clerk that it would not be a problem. He could have the room back. He only had to ask for the room by name. And the name of the room, he recalled, was Remember. Buchner said he woke up kind of startled at that point, but has ever since pondered the power of memory. He says that one reason memory is so powerful us as Christians is because to remember the past is to see that we are here today by grace, that we have survived as a gift. And he concludes saying this: the past and the future, memory and expectation, remember and hope, remember and wait. Wait for him whose face we all know because somewhere in the past we've faintly seen it, whose life we all thirst for because somewhere in the past we have seen it lived, maybe have even had moments of living it ourselves. Remember him who remembers us, as he promised to remember the thief who died beside him. To have faith is to remember and wait, and to wait in hope is to have what we hope for begin already to come true in us through our hoping. To have faith is to remember and wait. What has God done in your life? Do you remember? What is God doing in your life? How has God blessed your life? Are you able to wait patiently for the Lord to act in your life and in the world? You know, this time when we're gathered together for worship is as good a time as any to take a moment to remember. So I invite you right now to take a few moments in silence to remember what God has done for you and in you, to remember God's blessings in your life, how you've seen God working in your life, in your family, and in the world. Just take a moment now in silence to remember. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Scripture tells us our boundless God is slow to act in judgment. Our boundless God is patient with his people and with this sinful world. God is giving us time to remember. So wait patiently and be blessed. Thank God for his boundless patience, compassion, and grace. For the Lord is good to those who wait for him. Remember and wait and be blessed. In a few moments, we're going to celebrate the baptism of Cameron Furman. And the children will be coming up here in just a little bit. Cameron and I go and get changed for baptism, Jeanette's going to lead you in a few hymns. So this is Cameron. Most of you know Cameron. He's been here since he was pretty little. Yes. And he asked his Aunt Lindsay to come up and read something. That is in your bulletin also, a little testimony that he wrote.
My name is Cameron. I'm 9 and a fourth grader at South Lebanon Elementary. I love to play ice hockey for my travel team, Palmyra Black Knights, and play baseball. I wanted to get baptized because I believe in God and want to be like my parents.
Cameron's making the decision to follow Jesus today, to make Jesus a permanent part of his life. And when we make that step to get to know Jesus and to live with him, we need support. We need support of family. Your family's here today, Cameron, supporting you. But we also need support of the congregation, the brothers and sisters in Christ with whom we are getting to know more and more. So I invite you, if you would, to make a commitment to Cameron by going, and Janet, I hope this doesn't mess you up too much back there, but going to 777 in the blue hymnals, and let's make a commitment to Cameron as we share together in the words on 777 in the blue hymnals. Thank you, Janet. After the hymn, I probably. Cameron, as we now receive you into the full fellowship of the church, would you join me, please? We make this covenant with you as we renew our own covenant with God, to bear each other's burdens, to assist in times of need, to share our gifts and possessions, to forgive as Christ has forgiven us, to support each other in joy and sorrow, and in all things to work for the common good, thus making known Christ's presence among us to the glory of God. As we unite with each other now, may we all be joined with Christ, our Lord. Invite the children, if you would like. You can come up here and sit on the steps as Cameron's getting baptized. Cameron, do you believe that Jesus is God's Son, and do you receive him and trust him as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Will you turn away from all sin, and will you endeavor by God's grace to live according to the example and teachings of Jesus? And will you be loyal to the church, upholding it with your prayers and your presence, your substance and your service as God enables you? Cameron, upon your confession of faith made before God and these people, you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sin and the commitment of your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Father God, we lift Cameron to you this day. He's made the decision to follow Jesus, to pattern his life after the life of Jesus. We pray that you would be with him, guiding him each step of that way. And Father, fill him with your Spirit as he grows and matures into Christian manhood. Just guide him on the path that you have in mind for him. Help him make wise decisions. Bless his family, we pray, as they support him and encourage him on this walk with Jesus. And be with us as a church as we provide an example for him as well. Lord God, just bless him. Keep him in your will, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
As Cameron was being baptized, I hope you had an opportunity to reconsider your own baptismal vows and how at one time maybe you promised to follow Jesus. Let's stand and sing together our closing hymn, "O Jesus, I Have Promised." Cameron will be with me in the back entrance as you leave for a chance for you to welcome him into the family of faith. Go now with patience, waiting for the Lord, remembering what the Lord has done in your life, and go in his peace. Amen.